How far up do bald people go when they wash their face? If you expect the unexpected, doesn't that make the unexpected expected? Isn't the word Q just the letter Q followed by four silent letters? All these questions and more on the Abnormal Matters Podcast.
Happy after holidays.
2021. The shitstorm of 2020 is over.
That's right. Now 2020 can drink.
There's a chance that 2020 is now 21 years old and just goes all Florida native on us and starts partying and we're all fucked.
But at least 2020's done. It's fucking 2021. We're back doing the podcast. We're gay. Oh, that's the wrong podcast. Sorry.
This is not the forum for you to come out on.
That's Wednesday's show.
Oh, that's right. But... no, we're doing episode 20. We got 19 in the books on last year, and starting this one off, episode 20, well, season 2, episode 20. We're going to be talking about Agenda 21, and of course, we always want to start off with our science news of the week. Mr. Mark, you had it this week. What'd you got?
All right. So, this week on science, I'll talk about with the vaccine and everything coming out, we still don't know that COVID-19 immunity means or how long it is actually going to last. So it's unclear whether we could ever reach herd immunity without the vaccine or with it. The immune system has two ways to provide lasting protection: T cells that remember the pathogen and trigger a rapid response, and B cells that produce antibodies, proteins the body makes to fight off a specific pathogen. If a person has antibodies, are they actually immune though? Is a big question right now. For some illnesses like measles, antibodies may last a lifetime, but for SARS, COVID-2, the jury's still out on this. It's unknown how long antibodies last in the blood, or importantly, whether their presence is a sign of immunity. Just because a person has antibodies doesn't mean they are effective at fighting the virus. Neutralizing antibodies are ones that halt the virus in its tracks, stopping it from infecting a host cell and replicating. Such antibodies typically recognize the virus spike protein, which helps it break into the host cells. So far, those kinds of antibodies have been a focus on studies seeking to understand whether a person may be immune. For the majority of people, it does appear that they're generating neutralizing antibodies, yet it's still unknown what the amount of neutralizing antibodies is sufficient for protection. And even if they are protective, it's unclear how long these immune proteins stick around. Studies of recovered COVID-19 patients have shown that antibodies for the coronavirus can wane after SARS-CoV-2 infection, but overall their levels remain relatively stable over a span of 3 to 6 months.
Oh yeah, and that just a timeline of viruses, you know, mutating and just changing up because of the antibodies that we naturally have. I mean, just kind of like when it's a form of influenza, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we haven't cured influenza. It just mutates and attacks us again.
Well, because it's only been around for a year, like for our knowledge of it, sweeping through the public, some data suggests the immune system might not have a great memory for the coronavirus infections. So yeah, it may not stick around. So even when we get the vaccines, who knows how long the vaccines will be effective for.
If we get the vaccine.
If it doesn't kill you when you take it.
There are some cases they were showing where people were getting Bell's palsy from it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which, I don't know much about Bell's palsy, but I know it like makes the side of your face like
slump,
like paralyzed, and slump kind of like a stroke, yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes it clears up in like a couple weeks or months.
Yeah, or never.
Or never. See, yeah, it's like, I don't know. And then everyone's seen that video of that doctor getting the dose.
I posted it.
But it's an empty syringe.
Oh, the needle disappears.
Yeah, and they never punch the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, yeah, but if you're really trying to fake it, why don't they give him a vitamin B shot?
Yeah.
Give him something else.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're that worried about it, but you still want to fool the public.
But where'd the needle go?
Yeah.
They do have those movie needles that are, and they look super authentic. It's actually something that I follow on TikTok. They're like movie props, so they do like bags, ice,
Like the knife.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like it looks legit. Metal needle, stick it in, and it looks legit.
And when you push the plunger, the liquid actually goes back up inside the plunger itself, so it hides it.
It's insane. It looks super cool.
Looks super real. So I'm like, man, why wouldn't you use something like that? Or why wouldn't you just use a vitamin B shot? Because, I mean, there's...
Give them a sugar shot.
Well, there's people over in, like, Thailand and stuff like that that actually believe in these vitamin B12 and all these vitamin C IVs. So you actually go to, like, these beauty clinics, and they hook you up on an IV for 15 minutes, and they just direct inject these vitamins right into your blood once a week.
There's a place in Columbus that does it.
Yeah.
It's like, IV Me or something like that. The IV bar. Straight up. For like $60 or $70, you're hungover, you're sick, you spend $60 to $100, and it's like an hour-long session. They hook you up, you just sit there in a room, they got fucking TV, magazines, whatever, man. You're just chilling with an IV in your arm.
Yeah. So, I mean, swear to God, that stuff's
IV bar or IV Me.
That stuff's like just vitamins. It's harmless. It's just like taking, you know, your Flintstone vitamins when you're a kid. Just get a shot of that sticking in the guy's arm.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're so worried about it.
Right.
It's true.
But there's another conspiracy lying inside of our science news.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to get too far into it because next episode, we'll be going over COVID.
Yep.
But did you have anything else on?
Nope.
Real short and sweet?
Yeah, short and sweet.
All right, boys, you want to dig into it?
Yeah.
All right. So we're, this episode we're doing Agenda 21.
And then that kind of bleeds into Agenda 2030 also. So, which is basically the same thing. They just moved back the timeline.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't heard about Agenda 21, the nutshell of it is Agenda 21 is a non-binding UN resolution signed in 1992. That provides an action plan for governments with regard to sustainable development. Now, the scary thing about this and why we kind of chose this topic is, as we're talking about this stuff, and we'll kind of get a little bit into the PDF of the actual Agenda 21, you have to watch these hot keywords, you know, and it's sustainability, conservation. Yeah, I mean, you just have to watch for those.
Social justice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some words in here that, are very, some of the stuff off the PDF is very lawyer jargoned, and it's very vague on how they want to implement their agenda. And it's kind of scary on a little bit of a side where the way that they word some of these things, it's like, what the fuck are you really talking about doing here?
Yeah, it's very, very vague, too, the way it's set up to local government also.
Yeah, I think they set it up that way so they could have the wiggle room to do what they want and stay in power.
So some of the weird things that I came across, too, is the fact that a lot of the organizations that are built by the UN and all that for part of this Agenda 21, no one's an elected official. They're all just boards and just random people. So they just have this ultimate power without ever being elected. And they are basically lobbyists.
Yeah. Where
they're going out and, like, if you're a brand new mayor, you'll go to one of these conventions or whatever they want to call them, like, you know, political meetings or something like that with other mayors or governors or whatever it is. And then these lobbyists are there basically just showing you how to do their agendas and how to do their and push like their ideology onto these people and give them like, here's a grant to implement this in your town. Here's, you know, what you need to do. Here's a box of, you know, follow the guides and all that. And there you go. There's new legislature just given right to you. Mm-hmm. So some of that stuff can get scary.
I think the scariest thing for me, honestly, is that those that are promoting the Agenda 21 for our centuries, they understand that it's a drawn out process to get everybody to reform to how things are going to be. And it's happening right in front of us. And most people don't even know what's happening.
Oh, they're going for the marathon, not the sprint.
Yeah. And it's to me, like before, I mean, I don't want to say I know, but I believe in governmental control, trying to, I don't want to use the word oppress, but them just trying to keep control through fear or through lies, and I really didn't understand it. And this topic was super scary for me. It was really scary to read about it.
On the surface, it seems pretty good idea.
Everything seems great. It seems gung-ho of just you know, making sure that we're going to survive throughout the mm-hmm. ages and change the way that we think about how we control our environment and, you know, population and all that stuff. Yeah.
So there's 17 points or 17 goals that are inside of this, just to give a background on it. Goal number one is end poverty in all its forms everywhere. Two is end hunger, achieve food security, improve nutrition, and promote sustainable agriculture. Three is ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all age, everyone at all ages. Number four, ensure inclusive, equitable, quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. And five, achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls.
So far, so good.
Ensure availability and sustainability management of water and sanitation for all. Ensure seven, ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, modern energy for all. Eight, promote sustainable, inclusive, sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. Nine is build resilient infrastructure, promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization, and foster innovation. 10 is reduce inequality within and among countries, which that one starts to get a little weird when you look into it. Because in concrete terms, it's delivering sustainable income growth to the poorest 40% of the global population. So basically, the rest of us need to lift up the lowest 40% when you start looking into it, which is a distribution of wealth.
Commies!
And I mean, I know everyone right now is waiting on their $600.
Yes. Right.
And for their stimulus. And a lot of people were bitching, though. They were like, well, we're only getting $600, but we're sending all this money over to Pakistan to, what was number five again? Achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. So that's where that money went.
Yeah. It's being distributed.
Part of this global initialization. Where was the number 11 was to make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. That's where we'll get into some of the moving people around.
Mm-hmm.
12 was ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. So that's changing the way you shop, the way you buy, the way you, what products you actually get. 13, take urgent action to combat climate change and its impact. So then when you start getting back into normal stuff where it's conserve sustainability, use of the ocean, seas, and marine resources. Okay, great.
Yep. 15,
protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems. All right, nothing wrong there. Promote peaceful, inclusive societies for sustainable development. I think that's more like a global military. And the last one was strengthen the means of implementation and revitalization of the global partnership for sustainable development.
A lot of vague
references. Conserve. One of the ones that got me was, of course, they make cities and human settlements inclusive.
Yeah. Safe. You literally just read my mind. Right. Talk about moving people around. You're going to uproot people.
Well, they want to ensure access to adequate, safe, and affordable housing and basic services and upgrade slums. It's like, okay, it sounds great.
Right. But how are you going to get there?
How are you getting there?
Right. And I think, like, this whole agenda thing, it just totally reminds me of a Thanos theory. Of being unethical to get a ethical end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, spoiler alert for anybody of those geeks out there that haven't watched Marvel.
Who's that asshole? I wonder.
I just stared at Austin.
It's me.
Thanos' biggest thing was destroying half of life throughout the universe to be able to sustain and conserve
mm-hmm.
all the resources and shit throughout the universe. And it sounds great to be able to have that end mean, but meanwhile, you're the unethical way of doing it. And that's a part of this Agenda 21.
One of the things that comes up a lot, too, is the use of who they're aiming towards. Like, one of the things, provide universal access to safe, inclusive, and accessible green and public spaces. In particular for women, children, older persons, and persons with disabilities. Normal Joe Schmo is not on there.
No.
So just women and children and elderly.
Well, it does tie into the New World Order. I mean, that's what Bush had signed back in 92 with the UN.
And
Daddy Bush, not...
Yeah.
Daddy Bush, not Texas Booger Sugar no. Bush.
Yeah. Bush Senior.
Yeah, well, he actually said in the speech, we have an opportunity for a new world order when he implemented this. I mean, those exact words.
Yeah.
A new world order.
After he signed that, I mean, what's it been?
It was 1992.
23 years?
No.
I can't do math right now.
Looking at the wrong guy.
I'm looking at the wrong timeline here. No, 92, so that's...
28 years.
29 years.
29, well, 2021 now, so. So 29 years ago, it was signed, but extremists have recast...
Why that math is so hard to do.
I know. Extremists have recast it as a secret plot to impose a totalitarianism, world government, and a nefarious effort to crush freedom in the name of environmentalism. Ever since this coronavirus stuff came out, fears are running rampant.
Yep.
Again.
Oh, absolutely.
About this Agenda 21. Because, okay, maybe if coronavirus was not man-made or whatever and it just happened naturally, this is kind of their test run to see how much can they control. And that's where a lot of the conspiracy theories come from. The other thing with that, and we're going to get into more of the population control stuff, but China's already doing that. They've been doing it.
Yeah.
You can only have 2 kids. That's it.
Period. For a while there, it was 1.
1, yeah.
Yeah.
But then they realized that the fertility rates need to be at least above 0.7. After that, a culture starts disappearing.
Yeah. And then they were also having issues where people were having daughters and then killing the daughters.
Because they wanted the male.
Wanted the son. Yeah, there's dark times in every country's history, and that's one of their darkest, I think, personally. But
so you had a little bit on who's in cahoots.
I do, them. Actually. In this.
Because the Agenda 21 is, like, labeled the evil end game, you know, and who's in control of it and who's pushing the agenda.
Unfortunately, Colonel Sanders did not make our list.
Oh, man.
Sorry, he didn't make the cut. It's just
supposed to be on it. He's part of the 5 families.
Just did not make the cut this time.
He's so part of the 5 families that run the world.
So what we got?
And this is all alleged information. I'm not stating this to be fact.
Allegedly.
I cannot stress that enough. And if something happens to me, guys, it's been fun. I've really enjoyed everybody's company.
Hey, as long as you start hearing the black helicopters, you're okay.
And fucking, like, what song is that from Creed? Fortunate Son from Creedence.
Yeah.
So, allegedly, this is just kind of who controls what, the agenda, and what has happened as far as a formula to where we've gotten to where we are. The 4 families that are listed at the top are the Windsors, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and the Vatican. Underneath are some alleged disciples. So we got Buffett, Soros, Kissinger, Gates, Bloomberg, Bezos, and the reptile himself, Mark Zuckerberg. Their agenda is population control and reduction, excuse me, global digital currency, and a one-world government. Which I kind of feel like, I mean, because Bitcoin's still around. I wanted to expand on that one really quick. Bitcoin is still around. We don't hear about it as much as we did when it was starting to boom. But I kind of feel like Bitcoin was an attempt of a internet currency takeover. And it kind of, not that it flopped, but it didn't really take over like people had expected it to. So people were buying that shit left and right.
Yeah.
I want to come down to the formula. So things that have happened that have really led us to this point. And I'm going to name them because there's 3 layers to this, and I'm going to name them just how they are in order on my slide. But pandemic happened. With the pandemic came lockdown. Whether people want to believe this part or not, masks are using masks as a form of control, being able to tell us you have to wear a mask to do this, you have to wear a mask to go in here and leave your house. And distancing. And then it has brought us to this vaccine. This slide in particular says ID microchipping. I don't know about all that. I'm not going to stand behind that, but it definitely brought us to a vaccine that was created in less than a year, when Ian brought up a great point earlier that influenza has been around for how long?
100 years.
And we still haven't cracked the case on that one?
The Spanish flu.
Us trying to stop it, yeah.
Yeah.
The I Can't Breathe movement, it caused riots and lawlessness. That's, you know, right around the time with the cashless system. And then economic crash caused more anarchy, more chaos, more riots. Well, that one thing that's going to solve that is bring everybody together under a new world order where everybody is equal, everybody's fair.
Well, how do you create something? How do you create a new system?
You got to tear down the
road. You destroy the other one, mm-hmm. the one that was previous.
Right.
The shit is scary. I'm the last person that wants government complete takeover. This shit's not fair. I got some other notes that I'll expand on later, talking about where rights are given, our rights are earned. I like to believe that we're all born with basic human rights. We're all equal.
Well, the whole point of them being American, you have inalienable rights that can't be taken away from you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's odd, too. I mean, the way all this is structuring, coming out, I mean, it is playing right into the conspiracy theories.
It is.
And it's just making it stronger. But we want to note that, yeah, we are still saying allegedly.
Allegedly.
Right. But those bumpers are up on the bowling alley.
Yeah.
It's got a fucking straight path.
To build on that, I found odd too, is there's something called the genealogy of the Constitution. And it's these five documents over the last like 700 years where people have gone against, you know, their government or whatnot that's built our Constitution.
Revolution!
So there was one in 1641 against Charles I in England. And it's called the Grand Remonstrance. So you can look it up. It's a rebellion that resulted in the Fourth Liberty Charter, I guess you would call it, which is what a lot of people call it. And it's the malignant design of a tyrannical government and a pattern of corruption. And the pattern of corruption is corruption of the court systems, infiltration of foreign law, government diminishing property rights of the people and taking control of churches, government creating fiat money to control monetary systems, and government disarming the people while it remains armed. And a lot of this stuff we're starting to see brewed up. I mean, we've always talked about gun control and all that in the United States. We've seen it in other countries already happen. This all stemmed from in the 1600s when Charles I was trying to wage all these wars and whatnot, but he took away everyone's lands, and they were the king's lands at that. So you couldn't hunt on him, you couldn't own property, you couldn't have anything. He basically took everything. And he disbanded Parliament until all this happened. It was also
King Dick?
Yeah. And he took all this by saying, you know, it was for them to, for resource preservation and wildlife.
Oh, sustainability.
Sustainability. Oh. Depopulation. And it's almost as if this whole Agenda 21 wasn't actually recently invented, but just a building on the tool for how to make a tyrannical government. And it just, you know, it's weird how when you look back in history, how history starts repeating itself. And I'm not saying that this is what Agenda 21 is. It's just this is what one of the conspiracies is.
I'm not saying.
Well, in talking about that with the depopulation, because that's one of the biggest things on Agenda 21, is the depopulation of the world. Not just the U.S. or whatever, but
I've seen some things where they're saying 90% of the population. They want us to get us down to 500 million.
Yep.
So
from 7 billion or 9 billion.
We're at 8 billion, I think.
They want to get us down to 500 million. And we're like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
So, Mark, I apologize for interrupting you on that last bit. I actually covered something else that I thought was really interesting. I've already brought it to Ian's attention. I did something on the Georgia Guidestones. The Georgia Guidestones are a granite monument. They were built in 1980. Unknown guy paid in cash to have these 15-foot fucking granite, essentially what are 10, like, more current Ten Commandments. They are in Elbert County, Georgia, which I'm kind of pissed. I lived in Georgia for almost 8 or 9 years. These fucking stones were less than an hour from me, and I didn't find out about them until I was an adult. Which would be fucking killer just to go and look at them. Like, super mysterious, don't know, got guidelines on how the world needs to be. But as I said, A set of 10 guidelines are inscribed in the structure. 8 modern languages and in a shorter message are inscribed at the top of the structure in 4 ancient languages. If you guys really quick before we dive too deep into it, if you guys want to go over these.
Yeah, go for it.
So the Georgia Guidestones inscriptions say, maintain humanity under 500 million to balance with nature. Guide reproduction wisely, improve fitness and diversity. Unite humanity with a living new language. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Balance personal rights with social duties. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Be not a cancer on earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature.
Sounds a lot with the Agenda 21 show, with a lot of conservation of the environment.
And these, you just walk up. This is just like a park. You just walk right up to these. And unfortunately, they have been vandalized by people who disagree because they're not intelligent enough to disagree any other way. But I thought it was crazy. And as soon as I started digging in and doing my notes and stuff, it immediately reminded me of these. And I had to say something about them. So if nobody's ever heard of these before, definitely look it up. It's some interesting stuff.
There was one thing that I was like, when I was talking about those red flag words, there's actually a part where I looked on the online. So it said, if you see these words these days, watch out, because it is a part of the Agenda 21 movement. And that's smart growth, smart meters, biodiversity, wildland projects, sustainable development, resilient cities, regional visioning projects, just green jobs, alternative energy, local visioning, just all those, you know, red flags to look out for it and really dig into what they're trying to pass locally, because Agenda 21 is not built to be able to take over on the starting from the top. Yeah, they want to start at the local level and let it grow. And like we were just saying with the marathon, not the sprint.
Yeah. The other one was comprehensive blueprint.
Comprehensive blueprint.
Yeah, so a comprehensive blueprint to reorganize our communities in human society.
You know how many governments signed on to this shit? 178 different governments agreed to this Agenda 21. But now that it's come to the local, like the lower parts in America, you're starting to see some of the states nix anything.
Yeah. They're fighting like crazy. 20.
Yeah. Like Texas, Arizona, Kentucky, Alabama. Yep.
Florida.
There was a couple of, yeah. But I mean, they are seeing in between the lines that this is Agenda 21 shit.
No, yeah. There was one that was 750 is what it's called. And it was 7 counties in 50 years being basically taken over in Florida. It's like Miami-Dade County, all that, like the southern part of Florida, around Miami and whatnot, down to the Keys. And these people fought it and fought it and fought it. And there's you can actually look up and see a mayor talking about it, like the mayor of some town where he was in one of these. And he's explaining what the guy was talking about, explaining what Agenda 21 was, or not, well, the 7 for 50, because they changed the name of it. And explaining that it was fascism. And a guy blatantly set up that said that fascism is the best way to conduct this. And they're going, who the hell is this guy? And this clown talking on stage and all that. And even the mayor's telling people in a town hall meeting that this stuff's ridiculous. They want to get rid of land ownership and people living in single dwellings, move everybody into the cities, and cordon off and make these areas that are inaccessible to humans. Like, you're not allowed to go there. They're human restricted, and they like call them like wetlands and different kind of parks and stuff like that. But it was really interesting just watching this mayor go off on this in a town hall meeting, and you're just kind of like, holy crap, maybe there is something to some of this little stuff on the lower end.
Yeah, I'm super against somebody telling me you can't leave your house and go to this area and buy cigarettes. Fuck you, buddy. Like, I will go where the fuck I please. Like, I'm sorry, I thought this was America. I have a huge issue with that.
Well, we should, as an American citizen, because we do. We have a right to go freely where we want. And it's a part of one of the amendments. you know, you're allowed to move freely.
Well, that's the same thing with owning property and whatnot, too.
It's right.
Like, James Madison's got a great essay on it, where he goes into what actually property is and how, you know, you owning property and whatever. But property is also, like, showing who you are as a person also and whatnot. And our capitalist society, I don't know how you want to say it, but maybe it's gone a little off the rails. But it also shows how actually owning property and whatnot will actually bring you out of poverty, will bring you out of, you know, other lower economic statuses and other issues that you have in your life.
Oh, yeah. We'll take care of it. Just put us in power.
But when the government sits there and goes, yeah, we're going to take everything from you, it's like, we're going to put you all in high-rise tenement housing and just give you little green spaces and parkway, little walkways, and that's it. No more cars.
Speaking of which, have you seen in the last, and I just noticed this and I was talking to him the other day, have you noticed how many apartment complexes are going up in Columbus?
Oh, yeah.
Stacking them bitches up.
It's ridiculous. Like, how many apartment complexes are now popping up left and right?
Well, there's issues of them, like they've talked about in Canada, where people own all this farmland and they want to cordon off an acre for their son or their daughter to build a house on. Not allowed to do it.
Why?
Because they're preserving that. They want to preserve that farmland and don't want to put more houses out in the rural areas.
So they just deny what they
can do. So you're denied, you're not allowed to do it.
On your own land.
But they're also rezoning areas. And then when you go to sell your farmland later on, it's zoned as you cannot use that as farmland anymore. And you're basically kicked out.
Hmm.
That's fucked.
So it's a land grab.
I dug in a lot of the actual PDF of the Agenda 21 from the UN. And I was, again, it's lawyer jargon. But it's very weird how they are doing some of these articles that they're talking about. And I just want to kind of share with you a little bit, a couple of them, where it's a lot of research on their side. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always researching. They want the statistics. They want to know where they can attack and where they can infiltrate. The biggest one that fucking got my goat was, an assessment should be made of the implications of the age structure of the population on resource demands and dependency burdens, ranging from the educational expenses from the young to the health care and support for the elderly, and on household income generations. Now, what I take from that is they want to give us, and they've also talked about this with politicians, not doctors or anything like that, but politicians giving out, or people in you know, the government giving out life value numbers, LVNs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the premise of it is, you know, like, take Dada, you know, my father-in-law. He's 71 or 72 years old, and he smokes. Hasn't had a heart attack or stroke or anything like that, but because he's 71 or 72 and he smokes, he's probably going to have a life value of, like, 3, you know? Then you take my daughter, 6 years old, and they both need the same surgery at the same time. And her life value number is like an 8. You know, he's not going to get the surgery just because of that simple life value number.
He's not as important.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where that is trying to push into, where it's like, we're going to give everything a value number. And that's how they're going to delegate who gets what. It's kind of scary.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. Because what kind of number can you put on a life?
Can't.
Right.
Not justfully, anyways.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of people out there, too, that say, you know, well, there's nothing wrong with Agenda 21. There's nothing wrong with Agenda 2030. This is all conspiracy theory. And people are just attacking it just because they're uninformed. And there is no popular. They're not doing what all this stuff they're saying they want to do. It's just the way this stuff's written. It just leaves it open for attack because it is very vague. And it is one of those things. Do I actually believe it's, you know, as sinister as it is? I think it has good intentions behind it. I just think that there's, no matter what it is in the world, we need to question everything to keep everything safe. Otherwise, someone can take something that is presumed innocent and just completely bastardize it into something.
Oh, yeah. It's like, what if it gets in the wrong hands?
Yeah. I mean, there were things back in the 1930s happening in Europe where people were talking about, you know, how great, you know, this one leader was and how, oh, he's going to change everything. And we're coming out of this economic depression from a few, from a First World War and blah, blah, blah. And that guy turned out to be Hitler. And so, I mean, someone can manipulate the masses. I mean, it's not a far stretch. I mean, as human beings, and, you know, I know it's more prevalent in our culture, but I mean, as Americans, we need to question our people in power and question everything. And I'm glad that there are other people that are making this come to light. And whether it's there's anything sinister behind it or not.
Well, you were just saying how vague they should be.
Well, how vague they are, and they shouldn't be.
Right.
I'd like to see how actually vague they what are. They want to do.
I don't think this is very vague. This next line... The impact of national demographic trends and factors on the traditional livelihoods and indigenous groups in local communities, including changes in traditional land use because of internal population pressures, should be studied.
Yeah.
They want to take our fucking land.
Yeah. And they want to divide up wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that, man.
And in formulating human settlement policies, right there... Account should be taken of resource needs, waste production, and ecosystem health. There was another snippet that it was talking about. Let me find it here. The other snippet is population data should be disaggregated by sex and age in order to take into account the implications of the gender division of labor for the use of management of natural resources. So they want to put us to work also.
Re-education through labor.
Mm-hmm.
And China already does that.
You ever seen the movie 1984? Dystopia.
Yeah.
It's basically what they're saying this is going to turn into. That's that movie.
They're just going to have to kill me. You ain't putting me in a fucking labor camp. You're not taking my fucking house. Like, you can literally eat my ass. And that's exactly what I will say. Like, I'm sorry. We need a government
to... And then they get to say something with their stun gun.
Yeah. or in more recent cases, and I don't mean to sound morbid, with a real gun.
Right.
I don't know. We need a government to be able to keep, I don't like to say keep everybody in line, but you don't have government, you don't have police, people act all crazy. They do whatever the fuck they want. I mean, it's just human nature.
Well, we've already seen that when people defund the police, and so that stuff that happened in Seattle, and like the Chad District, and I mean... When there's a lack of organization, I mean, the cream of the crop do rise to the top and start taking advantage. So you get the most violent motherfucker in the world and there's no laws. Those are the guys that rise to the top. And those are the guys that take over. I'm not going to get into too political and like, well, we should defund the police and all this other stuff. And, you know, crap like that. I don't want to get into that because this is not the place for it, not the forum for it. But, yeah, you start moving stuff around like that, there's going to be violence like crazy if this stuff goes through and is actually real.
Oh, yeah. Scorched fucking earth.
Yeah. I mean, just look at tenements now. People that live in the projects and tenement buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a hotbed for prostitution, drugs, violence, crime.
And you were talking about what's the best way to control a population. And you were talking about, I think it was the mega cities.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little about that.
Well, the way they were talking about doing it was, of course, yeah, they were just building up all these cities where they're going to move the pot. They want to move the. This is like part of the conspiracy theory, but the herd people out of the more rural areas into cities. The excuse is it'll preserve forests and waterways,
conservation
for animals and all that kind of stuff. And so these areas, three quarters of there was like a map that someone was talking about. I don't know how real it is, but they were talking about where three quarters of the United States was actually off limits to human beings.
Oh, for like national parks?
Yeah. And... So three quarters. So we're going to be stuck living on the east coast of the United States, on the east side of the Appalachian Mountains, and then maybe on the west side of the Rockies. And then everything in the center?
The grain belt?
Nothing.
Yeah.
And talking about getting rid of cars. Because they pollute, and there's no room for, you can't build 50 million new homes for people the next, you know, 20 years, like they're saying that the boom's going to be. So start building these high rises and start just herding everybody into that.
Mm-hmm. Fuck that. No offense to people that live in places like this. I'm going to use New York as an example. If I wanted to live on the 34th floor of a fucking apartment building in New York, I would just go do that. I think it's ridiculous that we're trying to build up instead of trying to.
Well, it's cheaper.
I get that.
It's cheaper to build up.
But you can't cram a bunch of people into, like.
Oh, you can.
I mean, you can. Look at New York. Essentially, they say that you can fit the whole world's population
in Texas, I think.
Yep, Texas, and I can't remember the other state. So, in two states of the United States, you can fit the whole world's population. Think about that for a minute. You thought COVID spread fast across the world? Over the whole vastness of our planet? Think about how fast that shit would spread if it's two states and everybody's on top of each other. Fuck that.
But again, that's a part of their depopulation.
Mm-hmm. They might as well just
take want to get the numbers down, man.
There's a lot of people out there, though, that would argue with you that living in New York the way they live is the greatest thing in the world. I agree with you. It's not for me.
Hell no.
I like my car. I like.
Yeah, right.
I want to retire in Tennessee out in the hills.
Yeah, right? That's me. I want to live out in the country.
Yeah. I like being able to go and sit on my patio.
Sit in my rocker and whittle some wood.
Watch my kid play in the yard. Love it. There's nothing fucking better than that.
Yeah, and there's nothing against people that want to live in the big cities like that, New York and whatnot.
Oh, no, I'm not crapping on them by any means.
I'm just not. Yeah, I'm personally not that kind of guy.
Nope.
Even though I know Columbus is a huge, huge city that we live in, too.
Yeah.
But we live in the suburbs.
Yeah. It's a big hub.
We want the city. We just drive 10 minutes.
Right.
But otherwise, we're like the guys that live out in New Jersey and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, I don't want to live in New York. I work there, but yeah, I live in New Jersey instead. I'll just cross the river.
The best thing about Columbus, though, is Data actually just said this a couple months ago. He was like, well, how far is it to there? I was like, 20 minutes. He's like, well, how far is it to there?
20 minutes.
He's like, everything's fucking 20 minutes in Columbus. You can get anywhere in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. We don't really go by distance either.
No.
No one sits there and goes, oh, it's like, you know, 15 miles or it's 10 kilometers or it's, you know, whatever you say in other cultures. And Columbus, Ohio, everything's like, hey, it's just 5 minutes down the road. Oh, it's just, you know, 20 minutes over here. It's just, you know, and everyone's like, if you talk to somebody for like, you know, Ireland or England or something like that, where you tell them, oh, it's just, you know, 5 minutes down the road. They're thinking 5 minutes like the way they live, where they can walk everywhere in their cities, and they are very, you know, built around mass transit. Whereas when we tell somebody, oh, it's just 5-10 minutes down the road, and then you get them in the car and they realize you're driving 30 miles, and they're like, where the hell are we going? It's like, well, you know, it's different over here. There's a lot more space in between our shit.
That is true, though, because between Cincy, Columbus, Cleveland, there's not much in between.
Not a lot.
But there's not a whole lot in between. Mm.
And the funny thing is I think, like, what, Ireland is the size of Ohio?
I think so. Something about
it. Something like that. So a whole country is the size of just this one little measly state. But California, I think, is the size of Great Britain.
Damn, I've never thought about that.
With land and ocean?
Scotland and Britain and London.
I think
California's the same size, I think. If not, California might be a little bit bigger.
I want to say California's bigger.
But
never thought of that.
That's a big state.
Yeah, pretty much all of Europe can fit inside the United States.
Well, the last thing I had on that with the population stuff through the PDF, it was a big vague thing again. An assessment should also be made of national population carrying capacities in the context of satisfaction of human needs and sustainable development. Special attention should be given to critical resources such as water and land, environmental factors such as ecosystem health and biodiversity. So again, they're trying to assess our human carrying capacity of the Earth. Because the Earth has carrying capacities for every species. I mean, it's just inevitable. The Earth can only carry so many elephants in Africa. Mm-hmm. And then after it gets to past it, you know, Mother Nature gets past its carrying capacity, the ecosystem starts breaking down. And it's the same thing with us. And just kind of like it was saying with being unethical with depopulation of humans, we're going to get to a brink where, I mean, what's the population supposed to be in 2050? It's something ridiculous.
I don't even know. It's tens of billions.
I think it was like 20 billion or something like that by 2050, just because of the exponential rate mm-hmm. that we keep growing.
I actually had the, even though we were talking a lot about population control and things of that nature, I actually had the world population counter. It tells you how many deaths, how many births.
And that thing is just fucking
yeah, it's just tick, 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 tick. And it's fucking crazy to watch. Like
with all my fish tanks that I have here, it looks like my power meter.
Just already 5 days into the year. You know, there's already 400,000 people that have been born. That's five days in. And that fucking thing just keeps ticking away. Like, it made me really anxious, and I had to fucking delete it and not come back to it. Just, like, close it and not go back to it, because I would check it, like, every 20 minutes. Like, holy shit, like, that's 20,000 more people in the course of 4 hours.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about all this.
I mean, it's great that they want to make sure that resources and shit are going to last. But just the way that they're going to go about it does not sound right.
There is a lot of skepticism in there that this does have ulterior motives. We all knew we were going this direction, though. Because, I mean, everybody talking about climate change in the last, 20-some years. The fact that we're always arguing about, foreign markets and, where our jobs are going and that kind of stuff in American politics. And you even have, like the Rust Belt where we live in the Midwest, where, we used to have all these steel mills, and like my grandfather grew up working in the steel mills, and you make a great living and pension and all that kind of stuff and support a family. Not even having a high school education, just working blue in the collar. Blue collar worker, working the steel
sometimes
mills and other industries.
Not for everybody, and you gotta have those other jobs where people are going to be able to make a living.
But all the economical problems that we had with the EPA regulations and the world regulations on the environment when I came through and killed our industry, killed our steel mills, killed our ability to be profitable. I guess you would say, in a global market. So, it's weird that we're falling under those regulations that killed it, but then those regulations don't exist where those factories and everything move to in China, Brazil, and India.
Oh, yeah.
They're exempt from those same regulations.
But yet they signed the treaty.
Yes.
In the UN to be more conscious about that stuff.
Yeah.
But they're just like...
You guys know India has they have the second most people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that. China.
China's China. The one.
Yeah.
China, India, the United States. You got it.
Oh, I will.
China, India, United States. I digress on that, but
no,
I definitely had to say that.
Whenever I watch Amazing Race, after I've watched that, I will never go to India and drive. You seen that shit?
You watch Top Gear?
Fucking futz, man.
You watch Top Gear?
Uh-uh.
Like back when it was Top Gear with Jeremy Clarkson and Richard Hammond and
James I know the May. Show, I just haven't really watched it.
Them driving around India, they showed them driving around India, trying to get around.
Trying to survive.
And they were just stuck in traffic jams that lasted all day, just to get out of the city, and they never moved off the block. People sleep in their cars.
Oh my gosh.
And the rule is, the biggest car goes first. So there is no traffic
when
loss.
You got all those little motorcycle and mopeds squeezing in between too.
Oh yeah, see a family of 12 on a freaking little Vespa scooter going through town carrying a refrigerator on it. What the hell? It's like, you people are nuts. Or 700 people on one train car, and I'm not saying in one train car, on one train car,
right.
Where they're just folded over it and then holding each other's hands so they don't fall off the train.
What a fucking... I would pay top dollar to watch somebody... 12 motherfuckers on a Vespa. 2, to get a fucking refrigerator on there and then just hauling ass down the road. Weaving in and out of traffic on top of that.
Oh, yeah, that's insane watching it. You're like, what the hell? How do these people do this? But, I mean, hey, there's a will, there's a way.
Talking about the climate change stuff, Anybody heard any news about the ozone layer recently?
No.
Have not.
Did it repair itself?
Don't know.
Is the hole still there?
I think that was the last thing that was really
said. We gotta call Greta and find out.
I think the last thing that was said about it is all of a sudden it's like, it's repaired. Like, we shut down for X amount, when everybody started shutting down and shit, they started closing all those factories. They talked about the smog not being as bad in Japan. And all of a sudden, the ozone, it's fixed. Al Gore probably did a fucking backflip.
Al Gore behind the Clintons.
Yep.
But
it's a Clinton agenda. Is the Clintons in a part of that? I think they're in cahoots, too, with Agenda 21.
I'm in fear for my life to say any more on the
allegedly.
Clintons. Allegedly. The Clintons were not on that list, but... Allegedly.
That's maybe good. You're safe.
Maybe a sub-minion.
Saying more than I want to. I like Bill. Bill's my friend.
He comes over. I play drums. He plays the sax.
Well, I mean, this started getting a lot of... this whole Agenda 21 conspiracy, that did start getting a lot of steam once people like Glenn Beck started getting in on it. And Glenn Beck actually wrote a book about it. And I know there's people on both sides of the spectrum politically that say, you know, either, you know, the guy's a nut job anyway, or there's people, you know, really believe in his politics and whatnot. I'm not going to say which side I'm on.
Is Glenn Beck the Ground Zero radio guy?
No, that's late night. I think Glenn Beck comes on in the morning.
Yeah, I used to listen to him, actually, when I was younger, driving. He was on, I think he used to be on one of the local radio stations here all the time.
I'll have to check that out.
And I used to listen to him. And he would always, you know, just get really vibrant and ramped up about everything politically and whatnot. And back then, it wasn't as bad as it is now. I mean, I haven't listened to him in 20 years, 10 years, 20 years. I don't know what he talks about now. I just know he came out against this Agenda 21 also, and also the Republican Party's 2012 platform came out against it too and said, we strongly reject the UN Agenda 21 as erosive of American sovereignty.
Mm. So you're not going to tread on me.
Nope. And there's
got our old flags out with a snake on it.
There's a guy that's actually pops up a lot when you get into this. His name is Tom DeWeese. And Tom DeWeese is actually from Newark, Ohio. Just, you know.
Newark.
Like we said.
That's how they say it.
20 minutes away. It's 20 minutes away.
Yeah. But that's how they say it out there. It's not Newark. It's Newark.
And he lives in Virginia now. But he is, I think, president of the American Policy Center. And you can actually, I wrote it down here somewhere. Where did I write it down?
Really quick, you're saying the don't tread on me flag. I want to put an alligator on one and put fuck around and find out.
I think it's called, like, AmericanPlanning.org. This is his website.
All right.
Where you can actually go, and he's got books on this kind of stuff that, of course, he's selling. Trying to make money out.
Sure.
But this Tom DeWeese goes through like all this stuff of them wanting to steal our property and what it actually means at the local government level and how they're trying to implement this and how it's these lobbyists that are actually coming through and building these boards and all these other organizations that are not elected, but they have all this power over governing us.
You're just appointed.
And yeah, they're appointed, but they don't lose power ever if the regime changes.
Right.
So he gets into a lot of that stuff. And I mean, a lot of people think he's a crackpot and that he's making profit off of stirring the pot. And he's, you know, just telling everybody, oh, you know, look out, look out, look out. You know, evil's just around the corner. And that's how he's making his money. But I sat and listened to him in a couple interviews and a lot of what he says makes a lot of sense politically, and it's very intelligent. It doesn't sound like a lot of fear-mongering. But then there's other sides of that I've seen where he's been quoted as saying stuff like, you know,
the UN's the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, you start getting the nut job side of it. But, I mean, from what I heard from him and actually listened to him, I didn't take that away from it. But it's here nor there. So everyone can go out and listen to him on their own, Tom DeWeese. and look at what he has to say about everything.
I'll check it out.
But he also said, you know, he described this resolution as a new kind of tyranny that, if not stopped, will surely lead us to a new dark ages of pain and misery yet unknown to mankind.
That's kind of really laying it out there.
Yeah. He is really, really against a lot of the sustainability. And he talks about, you know, how Nancy Pelosi even talked about, you know, with the EPA and American Planning Commission, about it's a comprehensive blueprint, like I said before, to reorganize our communities and human society.
AOC.
And those are exact words.
The New Deal, or the, what's the new, I don't know. I forget what she's trying to push. I forget what it's called. But AOC in the government is talking about getting rid of cars, like you were saying, mm-hmm. and you know, reducing our carbon footprints. And I think even they had something about like restructuring all of buildings and that kind of stuff within the U.S. And if we don't, then we're screwed in 10 years.
I think it's going to take a little longer than 10 years.
I think so, too.
Like 100 years.
I would concur with that. But they're out there, man. I mean, even if they aren't a part of the Agenda 21 conspiracy, they're out there trying to change the system and govern us more with more control and more power.
I think they got enough power as it is.
What does a person with power want?
More power.
More power, yeah.
Want one hand and shit in the other, buddy.
Well, I've seen also where there's people for this Agenda 21, and one of the things one of them said, which kind of struck me as odd, was kind of weird the way it's worded. And, quote, "What I want to hear from opponents of sustainable development is, where are you going to put 50 million new housing units over the next few decades?" So far, I haven't got an answer to that question.
Texas. Right?
So it's like, that's kind of odd the way that's worded and said. It's kind of like, well, yeah, we're going to have to build these high rises for everybody. Right. And then I think it was an Arizona State Senator, Steve Farley, said that sometimes these conspiracies get a life of their own, and those people you depend on to support your tax-cutting majority sabotage you by destabilizing the overall economic climate. And, but you can't just say these folks are in the margins. These folks are in the center of power.
I found it. It's called the Green New Deal.
Green New Deal?
Yes.
You know, I read that, and I didn't like her at first when she first came out.
Pelosi?
No, but OLC?
AOC.
AOC. I didn't like her at first when she first came out. Especially like about this Green New Deal and stuff like that. And it just came across as ignorant to me and just how it would be possible. But, I mean, that's just my personal belief on that. Problem is, then I kind of listened to her in a couple other interviews where she actually goes in talking about how our party system's so screwed up.
Oh, for sure.
That she has to follow certain guidelines and she has to go through certain things and do certain things that she doesn't want to do.
She's got
to
jump through hoops.
Because she's got to do it because of the party she's part of. And where she actually sat there and said, look, I don't believe half this crap either. We just put it up there to see where we stand and how, you know, who was in our party and who was against us. Okay. And then I heard some other stuff from her, and it was like, you know, she's actually really intelligent. And has some good ideas. It's just, she even agrees the party system's all screwed up. Yeah. We have a two-party system in this country. It sucks.
Yeah.
I think we're one of the only nations that have it as a democracy. And we don't get to choose, really, who is part of our parties, the party side. I mean, you can have the, what do they call them, the national conventions and all that kind of crap, where they nominate people and we can vote primaries, and yeah, that doesn't mean shit.
No.
The rich decide who's going to be in there, and unless you're not a, you know, a rich white man, you're not going to get in.
Speaking of which, a couple days, man, shit might hit the fan.
Yeah.
With this whole fucking Trump thing.
Yeah. We're in some weird times right now. We'll see if he actually gives up power peacefully, or...
I'm just talking about just riots and shit. Like, if shit goes down, there's going to be riots.
I'll watch from Facebook Live from the comfort of my home.
And the rest of the world is just going to love us for entertainment.
Yep. Yeah, we're the reality show.
Yeah, we are. We're the Jersey Shore of the world. They're just watching us. They just want to say, well, what's going to happen next? Right. It's weird. Our country is just a bunch of fuck sticks. And,
yeah. We've sank as a society. Fuck.
We've gotten rid of all credibility, you know, politically across the world. Oh, yeah. But what is it? Biden saying that we're all going to have to wear masks for the first 100 days and of his presidency. And I heard a joke out there. Someone said, well, yeah, but that's because he's not going to make it through the first 100 days.
But I mean, that's all I really had. I did a lot of my stuff on the population control and just the way that they worded that shit.
Yeah, I did a lot of just the weird stuff that the conspiracy are saying that what it's going to be. I mean, and like we said before, this is just what the conspiracies are.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone needs to go out and read this for themselves and research this for themselves too.
Yes.
Because, I mean, this could potentially be really important in the next decade or so of what really happens with our society. And I know we're kind of wrapping up, but there's one thing I just saw recently too, as, you know, with everyone talking about, you know, gun laws and taking guns away from people and whatnot. There was a, she's either a senator or a congresswoman in Texas. And I can't tell your name off the top of my head. If you Google this, it'll come up. She put into a bill into that says, if like they have castle law there, stand your ground. Mm-hmm. So someone breaks into your house, you're allowed to shoot. Mm-hmm. She says, no, not allowed to have that anymore. If someone breaks in your house, you need to flee, and you need to let them have your stuff. And if they get injured on your property, you're liable. If they get injured on your property, breaking in and stealing your stuff, and you must let them take your stuff because they want your stuff more than you want it, and they will not prosecute, and it is a better transfer of wealth anyway because they really needed it anyway, and your insurance company will reimburse you.
No, I'm a firm believer of hippity hoppity, get the fuck off my property.
Mm-hmm. So, this is a real thing. But, being that it's from Texas, I'm not sure that it's got a fart in the wind chance of surviving.
What's Texas's motto?
Don't fuck with us.
Don't mess with Texas.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you come to Texas and kill somebody, we will kill you.
What was it that Ron White said? Other states have capital punishment. Texas is putting in a drive-thru window.
Putting in an express lane.
They have the death penalty, and they use it. We're putting in an express lane.
And everybody else's state mottos are all nice and bubbly and, you know.
The Buckeye State, we're the heart of it all.
Or in Mississippi, it's the hospitality state. Mm-hmm. And then you got Texas going, fuck you looking at, bro?
Get off my property. Well, you were talking earlier, too, about the, or we were talking before the pod, we started recording, about the whole getting the vaccine thing,
right?
Which bleeds into this.
It does.
So you would be carrying, what was it exactly? You'd be carrying around an app on your phone that says whether or not you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
So that you can get in and out of the state, in and out of the country, get on the
movie planes. Theaters, offices. They're starting this app that will be like a QR code about your medical disposition.
Which to me seems to violate all the HIPAA laws and HIPAA regulations out there.
But
supposedly you're only allowed, you can tell them how little or how much they're allowed to say.
How much information. Yeah. So if your pass of, yes, I got the coronavirus shot is on there, you can mm-hmm. only send that information. But guess who's in charge of doing this app?
I wonder. I heard it was IBM.
Uh-huh.
Google?
Microsoft.
And Microsoft?
Yeah. Who's in charge of Microsoft?
Bill Gates.
Mr. Gates. And also, who owns Pfizer? Or is like a major shareholder of Pfizer? Bill Gates. Yeah.
Well, I'm just sitting there going, well, you have to have this passport, this virus passport, on your phone to get in and out of anywhere and all that. Mm-hmm. Seems like remnant of something else years and years and years and years ago, where someone's going to look at me and go, I'm going to see your papers. Where are your papers?
Right.
Show me your papers!
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems really reminiscent of that.
Yes, absolutely. That's why I don't think it'll. I don't think it'll fly. I think that it'll get huge.
I'm not doing that shit. I could see it also having issues where, as like, there were things that came out in, you know, this country, you know, decades ago about pre-existing condition, medical concerns, and that kind of stuff in our healthcare and in our political system. Whereas they would be able to see, like, if you have this on your phone, they're going to know your history.
Yeah.
And now everything's uploaded basically instantly to the government. They can look at it. What's to stop, you know, large insurance companies and other organizations from getting a hold of this data too and seeing people that have pre-existing conditions like kidney diseases and heart failures and that kind of stuff and denying claims like crazy?
Yeah.
Because it's pre-existing.
We won't have to worry about that once we go to the New World Order because everybody will have health care and we'll have our life value numbers.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's scary shit. What's stopping me from, hey, did you get your coronavirus shot? Yeah. Let me take a picture of your QR code.
Yeah.
So then I just pull my picture up, like, beep.
So which one of us is getting it? Because nose goes, it ain't going to be me.
1, 2, they're not it.
Yeah, right?
Well, I don't think any of us have to.
I don't know. The way that they're talking, if they want to try to implement this, you're going to have to be able to
do it. And unlike you two, I own more guns.
Afraid of this one, as I was, I'm glad that we're just expanding. I mean, for us, being Americans, we need to understand and we need to be able to connect dots like these on everyday issues. Like Mark was saying earlier, when we see things like this, we got to question stuff like this.
Yeah.
We have to just to clearly be able to see the root of these long-term policies and how they could affect everyday life. Tell me in the next 40 years, my kid's not going to be able just to go to the grocery store?
Right.
Or take his kid to the park?
Without permission?
Yeah, without permission. Or I can't have a child without government consent or a government form saying that you're allowed to have a child?
I can't have that piece of land. I got the money, but nope, you're not allowed to have that.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is, you know, you got to be informed. You got to know what's going on around your, you know, local community, your government. You need to know everything. I mean, you don't need to know everything, but you need to be informed where you can make good decisions and fight against what you think might be oppressive. And there's so many people out there that they don't know. They don't research themselves. They just follow the flock. And it ends up where, you know, the lion ends up laying with the lamb. And everyone's fine with that at first until they realize the lion's going to have the lamb for dinner. Look into a lot of this stuff for yourselves and, you know, take away from what it will. I mean, where you go from the conspiracy theory side of it. But there's always a truth somewhere that builds conspiracies. So there might be something in this that really could be detrimental to us in the future. So, you know, research it, get educated about yourselves and anything else going on locally in your government, and you know, make sure you're researching and you know what's, you know, what this stuff's going to affect you in the long run.
Do your research, people.
Because knowledge is power.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe style. Alright, well, again, we appreciate everybody that's listening. Thank you for last year. You know, getting our audience built up there. If you want to, you can actually get a hold of us through Facebook, The Abnormal Matters. And we also have our email, theabnormalmatters@gmail.com. And let us know what you think. You know, if you want us to dig into something, we're just kind of flying off the cuff, throwing stuff out there and see what sticks and talking about it. Next episode, we're definitely going to be digging into more of the coronavirus. And we are going to have a special guest on that is actually in the nursing field and has seen it right at the forefront of the pandemic. And we're going to be talking to her about what she thinks about the coronavirus. And so she's going to be able to speak freely about what she has seen starting from the beginning of the COVID thing. So yep. I'm really excited to have her on. And I also did want to put this out there. If it is easier for you, I have started a Google phone number that will actually come straight to my phone. So if you guys have any kind of feedback or anything like that, if it's easier for you, you can actually use area code 216-260-4703. And that is the complete separate line account for the Abnormal Matters. And we'll definitely reach back out to you. So, anything else, John?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Thanks, guys. And
thanks for listening.
Yeah, really looking forward to some of the topics we got coming up and some other things that we got planned for y'all.
I hope we were not too much fear-mongering in this one, but...
But watch out.
Be afraid.
But, hey, that's what happens when we're putting our tinfoil hats on and getting ready for this stuff.
Yep. All right, guys, take care, and we will see you in a couple weeks. Thanks.
Later.